Outdoor Edge introduces the all-new Razor Guide Pack. Coming in at 12 ounces and in a premium wax canvas roll pack for compact storage and travel, the Razor Guide Pack is 7 blades in total, including a 5-inch replaceable blade folding knife, a 3-inch replaceable blade caping knife, and the flip and zip saw for wood or bone. Whether you're hunting the back 40 or chasing game deep in the backcountry, the Razor Guide Pack has it all. For more information, visit OutdoorEdge.com.
It's like 1:15 in Louisville, but I think my mind's a little bit still on Vegas time.
Yeah.
That would be
10 a.m.
10 a.m. It's so weird. And you said you've been. You go Pacific, from Eastern to Pacific time, no matter where you go, it's just rough. And I've traveled, I know both of you all have traveled the other direction too, going abroad. It's just always like getting your body changed is rough. And by the time we leave is when I finally start to feel adjusted.
Yep.
So.
And then you screw yourself.
Yeah.
Right back up again coming back.
Well, then the last night we went to the casino and Leave It to the Kentucky Boys, like the only horse betting game in Vegas, I think. We found this really fun animatronic horse game where we could all sit around, and it was like the bets were cheap and it was just 3 hours of entertainment. It wasn't a party or anything. We were just literally betting on
six. And you didn't have to be good at it.
You totally could just – it would tell you the odds and you just pick your horse. And then we're all just yelling and competing. And it wasn't a crazy like Vegas party story or anything, but we did that for like 3 or 4 hours, and I'm not exaggerating.
I don't even know.
It just time just eroded, and it was fun. And a homeless man came up to Zach and tried to trade a $20 bill with a $20 bill. His was taped together, and I'm like, you're not selling this very well. And
apparently, Zach said it was like a 10 on one side and a 20 on the
other. Oh, was
it?
Yeah. he's like, I got $30. Like, yeah. You give me a 20. But the casinos are good about keeping riffraff out of there. Zach looks super uncomfortable. Zach's like the funniest one to approach. You know, I think any of us would have been a little more blunt and telling the guy to leave. But Zach was like, no,
he's
man.
Like scratching his head.
He's just like awkwardly leaned forward and kind of tilted away. And he's like, no, man, no.
And
no.
Then he realized he had a 20 just sitting on the counter. And like slapped it down. Yeah. Forcefully.
Yeah.
Zach did, or the homeless?
Yeah.
Zach,
so the guy was kind of reaching that direction.
The guy was like me to Jacob, getting like he was very,
very close.
Very close. And the security was all over. It's like you don't see those guys. They're always watching, but you don't see them until they need to be there. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't even know where he came from. He just appeared. This very large man came and was like, you got to go. So that was funny.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. And then what was the story with Snow White?
I wasn't there, but apparently there was a man dressed as Snow White,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were other guys dressed
Please
as the dwarves.
But all the dwarf names were on their backs or something?
Yeah, they were named on their back, but they were inappropriately and not dwarf names.
Very sexual innuendo.
Were they small people?
No.
No, everyone asked that question. We did see, lots of little people at mm-hmm. SHOT Show. The one brand that we still have, I need to figure out who this was. I want to show a picture of my buddy. It was, they had a bunch of little people in their Hawaiian tactical shirts. And I don't know if they're famous or what, but there was a long line to meet this group of people that were there. And I don't know who was famous, if it was the little people or the other people that were in the booth. But people were very excited to meet them.
Yeah, we should maybe do that.
Yeah, as a promotion.
Find some little people?
Yeah, for Gayos, maybe.
You know, the one thing that was cool that Dan and I saw, that both of us were like, we could do this for Gayos. There were booths that had claw games.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you talk to them, you tell them their spiel, or, you know, maybe we make them sign up for Go Wild, and then you give them a coin, and they can go play the claw game
mm-hmm.
to get prizes out of there.
Yeah, Dan was telling me about this, and he's like, we got to figure out how they did that. It was so cool. Like, I thought it was a tech thing, like scan something and the machine activated.
Uh-huh.
It was totally just a claw machine. I said, yeah. "Where? How'd you guys build this?" He goes, we didn't build it. We just bought it off some flea market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they got a coin that was the size of a quarter.
So they were Israeli. So it was actually a shekel.
Yeah. So, shekel. But if you did something, I don't even remember what it was. Scan
your badge.
Yeah, that's right. They scanned your badge. That's what it was. Because then they get our emails. SHOT Show has a system for that. And so he scanned our badge and he's like, all right, cool. So you had a chance at like $200 sunglasses or, and I asked him, I said, is anybody actually winning anything? And he's like, oh yeah, dude, we've been giving out stuff like nonstop.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a, I don't know how well it really will work for them. Cause like, I don't even remember the brand name. Start with an A. Mm-hmm. But you know, for just strictly capturing emails, I was like, that's clever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's at least a warm intro to the booth. And then if you get interest from people, they're at least stopped in your booth, you know?
Yeah, that's the big trade show game is how do you get people to come to your booth?
Yeah, SHOT's interesting because it is so diverse. I mean, so we're talking about the Shooting, Hunting, Outdoor, and Tactical show. For anybody that doesn't know, it's held in Vegas every year.
Is that what SHOT stands for?
I had no idea.
Yeah, Shooting, Hunting, Outdoor, Tactical.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so... a little pew-pew action, but it's a clever acronym, isn't it?
Yeah, it worked out.
Yeah. So the show's broken up into, there's the overall firearm floor, which is the main floor, and it's bigger. It's like bigger than any other show in our industry in itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could roll ATA up in there twice into the mm-hmm. one floor, maybe thrice or what's that for thrice? Or flice.
Flice.
Force.
It's a farce. Know. No. It might even be. I mean, it's massive. It's so massive. And like it is the same. It's probably twice. You could roll it up into there. But because it's a 5-minute walk across that one
just
floor.
Just for the that one firearms.
Floor. Just for the. Well, and this isn't even all the firearms.
This is like the big manufacturer's guns and ammo.
This is where you're going to find Glock and Christensen and Leupold and like all of the big, big companies are in there. And the booths, you walk into that, and it's kind of like walking into a Tesla store. On like the Glock booth is all lit up, like or a Tesla or an Apple store. You know, you think of like these big giant presentations. They have I can never say it verandas where you can like go up the steps, and there's bars sometimes when you get up there, and then they'll have meeting
and their
spaces.
Booth, yeah. It's like double decker.
Mm-hmm, double deckers that they set up in a matter of days, and then they'll have. Vista probably has the biggest booth there now, and it's kind of segmented into all their brands. But they have 6 or 8 conference rooms mm-hmm. built for just this purpose. So, and they have a check-in counter, and it's all virtual. And she's like, "Oh, yep, you're in shot A or whatever it is," and she'll walk you over to your meeting room.
The money.
And, oh, it's crazy. And then some of these our Gaos booth looks. Like we have a seemingly real wall. Think of that like times 100 on some of these things. We walked by that one classical. It wasn't like a Henry. I can't remember who it was, but kind of like that Henry vibe, mm-hmm. like classical shotgun mm-hmm. booth. And they had like mahogany walls.
Yeah, it was like traditional like wood. Paneling.
I mean, it looked like stepping into somebody's library.
It was
like,
crazy.
It was amazing. And so that's the first floor. The downstairs is a lot of the smaller. To mid-sized brands, it's kind of a mix of military hunting. It's really just a blend, I would say.
Yeah.
They kind of use that. I don't know how they do this, but it seems like it's like a blend of if you can't afford to be in one of the top floors, you go down here. You still get great foot traffic. The food court's down there. That floor stays really busy. It's just a lot of the smaller or it's just a less expensive booth space. It doesn't seem to be as strategic as some of the other areas. And then there's I don't know what to call it. It's just like a tactical black gun section. Like Daniel Defense is in there. There are some knife brands in there. Well, Outlier is kind of a partner with they make some AR parts.
Yeah, they have black rifle stuff too.
Yeah, but it's a lot of black rifle. So a lot of tactical gear. And then there's a military police section.
Oh, wow.
Just a whole section of that stuff. And, you know, we don't know anything about that stuff, but it is real fun to walk through.
Mm-hmm.
That's where your robot dogs are.
The stuff just looks cool.
Yeah. That's where your robot dogs, your tanks, like not like your, it's not like a Bradley tank sitting there. Well, I don't think there was any
Bradleys
there. I didn't
see any Bradleys.
But there'll be like door breaches. Like and it's crazy. The stuff that, just stuff we don't think about, but that these SWAT teams need. So they'll go there and kind of, you get an idea for what they're going to spend. If they need something, they can find and, you know, they'll make orders at the show.
So wait, are the police using robot dogs? Is that
it's
what
a thing
is
that's
about?
Coming. Yeah. I mean, they had one at the show. You've seen the robot dogs, right?
No.
You don't know what we're talking about? Mm-mm. I mean, they're using them. Last year, they were using them during COVID. This one city bought a bunch of them. They're like 150 grand each. And they were walking around parks yelling at people to stop congregating and outside. That seems like a great use of money, right? But a lot of that stuff is like your bomb squad. Like I saw a robot that had multiple arms coming off of it, and it had tracks. So they got that kind of stuff.
Okay, that makes sense now.
Yeah, but it's also like a lot of vests. It's a lot of helmets, night vision, you know, stuff that we wouldn't really have anything to do with. But I always walk through there just because it's really cool to see what they're doing. Then there, so you'll go, there's those are one and two, and then the military tactical is off to one side of that. And then levels 2, 3, and 4 have booths too. I didn't even go to one floor. There was one whole floor that I didn't go to.
Well, there was one floor that was all supplier stuff, and it was just through Wednesday. It doesn't go the whole week, because that's actually where Shaw Barrels was supposed to be.
And did we end up going up there?
Yeah, but they were gone.
Oh, they were gone.
We were a day late.
And once you get up to 4 and 5, those are kind of more your upstarts, your entrepreneurs who, you know, got the booth, and they're kind of just taking whatever they can to get a foot in the door. It's really hard to get a foot in the door at SHOT. They got a wait list that's very long, as you'd imagine. And then they opened up a new area last year that at first people were like, this is crazy. You know, nobody's going to go over there. But now it's kind of like Party Central over at the Caesar Forum, because you go out. And then Daniel Defense has this big, really just like a party area. I don't know what to call it. It's like food and there's
beer
drinks. There's a beer garden. Yeah, that's what it's called, the beer garden. There's cornhole. They've got like fake grass set up. And then that's the segue over to the forum. So people get a beer. They go over to the forum. Chris and Donovan are like, which shot? 10:30 in the morning, we'll get a beer. And then just walk over to came over to the forum. And then the forum – I don't think that one really has a cat. Well, does it have a category, really? I'm kind of thinking of the brands that were in there. It seems like it's kind of a lot of people that it just opened up
this
the wait
list all over
a little
the
bit.
Place. It's almost like it's a smaller extension of the second floor where the big guys are.
It really is. It is. The second floor is the one I was telling you, all the big brands. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of big brands over in that new floor now. Mm-hmm. That one's kind of interesting. I think it's best to hit that part in the morning because people haven't made their way over there yet. Mm. The afternoon, right before the shot after dark, which shot show after dark, which is not what you think it is. It's just the party
in Vegas.
It's not a Vegas style Sin City party. It's just SHOT Show. It literally is dark, and so there's a concert. There's booze.
ZZ Top.
Yeah, we didn't even stay for it though. We had a meeting, so we had a dinner with a brand that we had to go to, but we went out there for a little bit of that. They got bars everywhere. They got music. They actually had a little bit of archery set up. They had tactical vehicles that we were on our way to dinner meeting, and I didn't get to stop at the camper, but they had that camper set up that you could go into that like,
I didn't go down there.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No.
When we were leaving and went under the Ferris wheel, there was like a big tactical, not even tactical. It was just, you know, it was like a off-roading. It was really more of a overland camper. Mm. Mm-hmm. And so there's just everything at this show. It is.
Wow.
That's the thing. We spent 2 full days on the floor, and I'm sitting here saying I didn't see that. Like, that's.
I mean, I didn't go to a whole floor. There's a whole floor I didn't go to. So, I mean, honestly, I would be interested to see the footprint difference. I think Gaos is probably close in size, if I remember correct, like if I were to guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, close in size, I think. But Gaos is just way more spread. It's like a long, it's very long and thin. SHOT is just giant, giant rooms, you know. Wow. And it's 14 miles of booths if you were to walk it every bit.
That's crazy.
I walked 13 miles on Tuesday. I walked 12 miles on Wednesday. And we still didn't get through it all. I did a lot of repeat. You know, we're kind of bouncing around a lot. But
right.
It's crazy.
So brands are there, like, kind of showing, number one, if they're smaller, they're trying to get recognized for people like us or other people to be like, yeah, I'll do business with you, whatever. And then the bigger brands are there showing you, like, their new cool thing.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
in most cases, it's their full product line.
Yeah.
And they have something from everything.
But you can get hands-on to product. So the cool thing about that is, you know, we can call up a brand and place an order, but you don't know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. With this, what is it, CRKT? That it seems like it would be an abbreviation of cricket to me.
Yeah.
Cricket, yeah.
I always want to call it cricket or mm-hmm. circuit, but I think they say it as an acronym. But make killer knives. These things are awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, Dan carries them. But they, the show, like, you would think all this stuff would be boxed up, but I mean, they have magnetic walls. You can pull it off. You can flip them. You can get hands on them and feel. And if we wanted to place an order, we could have done it right there. Like there's all the booths are well stocked with sales reps. So that's something kind of unique about it. It's just how hands on with everything you can be.
That's cool. So then what was the coolest thing that you saw?
Jacob.
I think the robot dog was cool. There's a little bit of a creep factor because they can get up and open doorknobs and come in your house if they really want to. But really? I think just the fact that you can have like a robot that you can control, and if you need to go save somebody, it's not like sending a human in or whatever. You know, it's
one of the coolest things I saw was a training. You saw the video of this, but I'll explain it. So they had it was three screens, but it was seamless mm-hmm. and. It pieced out, and we were playing a game. You could shoot, and it teaches. It's like very accurate. You do you set your point of center before you start shooting, and then we were shooting dinosaurs. they had a game pulled up as a demo, but they use it with real life scenarios. And I'm guessing shooting dinosaurs is just fun and it catches attention. But also, I'm kind of wondering if maybe they didn't want footage of the training. Like, it might have been a smart play to not have like people shooting people,
humans. Yeah.
But they use it for police. It had a statistical, like, they had done studies on this, and it trains your muscle memory really well and allows you to without being at a range and you know, beyond the initial investment in the system, you're not, you know, you're having to shoot loads. Like, it's a effective way to just train without having to have active range. Mm-hmm. And I think it had real weighted guns after real models of guns. So you could shoot rifles at it. You could shoot, they had what looked like a Glock that Chris was shooting. And that was really cool. And mm-hmm. it's really innovative. It's a different kind of way to think of training. But they said what Chris talked to them about, they said that the fact where it's a game and you get people competing against each other, it's proven to increase your overall skill because you just get competitive naturally mm-hmm. instead of going to a range, getting direct feedback. I'm sure they would tell you this isn't like to totally supplement out. Obviously, like real
right.
Live fire is always going to be a critical component there. But they had case studies that the competition made people better. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff that I don't remember. We just walked by and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. You see so much stuff. But some of the things that are really neat to see is a lot of the technical apparel mm-hmm. that has now started to creep over into hunting. But previously it was mm-hmm. more just kind of, you know, tactical, more army issue type stuff that's starting to creep into hunting. And so you can see some of that evolution and then mm-hmm. the stuff that they're using that's like, that would be awesome in the field. But it's more like military camo.
This show's good. ATA is very whitetail focused. This one, you get a blend of the Western the tactical clothing or athletic clothing, however you want to think of it. Because a lot of the Western stuff's more similar to tactical than it is like traditional whitetail. So this show, you know, we were able to Stone Glacier came into their booth. They're part of Vista now, and we're able to get hands on their gear, hear about how it's made. They'll show you exactly what you're talking about carrying. And it's starting. I think that stuff will continue to bleed over into whitetail, though, mm-hmm. as mobile hunting picks up.
Yep.
You know, I think one thing with mobile hunting, it's just not comfortable in a lot of these big heavy bibs that have been promoted as really. And I have some mm-hmm. that are great for sitting in a buddy stand, but maybe not as agile to get up into a saddle, and mm-hmm. then you're bulked into that saddle.
Yeah,
I think that's where it was interesting for me was getting to see. I think there's going to be this convergence of the flexible, like that lightweight flexible gear that, as they can figure out how to make it warmer, or layer it, maybe it's a little bit thicker version for whitetail hunters. I think that's going to be my, if I had one thing I can see coming from ATA and SHOT, it's that those brands see the whitetail market, mm-hmm. and it's, I mean, it's not infinite, but it's at least 10 times bigger than the elk market, if not more.
Yeah.
And, you know, any given year you have at least 10 million whitetail hunters. They say there's up to like 15 or 20 million total. Some years people just don't hunt, right? But I mean, you're talking like 700,000 elk hunters. So like these brands are moving over and trying to cater to this bigger audience. And I think they're going to bring a lot of technology improvements with that. I think that'll be the next thing, is like what brand is going to come in and do what some of these big mobile hunting brands have done, you know, what they're going to innovate in that space and have gear that's set up for that. I still think mobile hunting is going to take over rifle hunting. I really do.
Yeah. That is a good point. I never thought of, is that it seems like the mobile hunting, saddle hunting was kind of designed for archery, right?
That's where everybody's still talking about it in an archery respect. But I shot my deer this year out of it.
Yeah, you did. Dan, he wasn't successful, but he was hunting out of a saddle with his rifle and intended to.
Started with a saddle, too.
Yeah.
I think anybody that's, you know, doing evaluation, I don't want to talk bad about any of the tree stand company. There's still a place for the buddy stands.
Yeah, they have their place.
The buddy stand, I still hunted out of a buddy stand this year. There were times when I'm like,
yeah,
I want to be where that stand is. Mm-hmm. But there were other times where I was like, I don't want to be there. I want to move over here and I don't have a stand there. And you know, you could move twice a day with those setups.
Yeah.
And so I think like private land ownership will always kind of lean on that. But I really feel like after ATA, I just see this huge new market, mm-hmm. in whitetail that's wide open right now.
Yeah. That might, even with like private land, I was, telling Braden the other day that even though I scouted this year on private property and set my ladder stand up and really thought that was really great spot, once season, even for archery, I came in and set up and then realized a couple weeks in that they keep coming from over in this brushy area where I don't have a shot. It is literally the only place I don't have a shot from this stand. I need to move.
Yeah, and you're not going to move a buddy stand.
But I wasn't going to move I wasn't going to move that mid-season. So I was telling him, I was like, man, I'd really like really think about looking into a saddle setup, because then I could just hop around all the property if I wanted to.
That's one interesting thing about SHOT. There's rumors that they're going to keep expanding their archery presence, and I'm excited about that, because that show, to me, they're just doing everything right. You know, the way they handled the media, we came in with media badges, and the way they cater to their media, they have a huge working room, they coffee, food, you can do interviews in there, you have private desktop space. Like they had 3,000 media members, I think, credentialed for the show, and they treat them like royalty. They have their own check-in if they want to come in and get their badges privately, they can. It's just, they really understand the importance of the creator, and it's not just print people. It's, you know, they want the influencers there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing that's making that show. I mean, it's the one that everybody claws. And like, I had a guy comment on one of my posts somewhere, I don't remember where it was, but he's like, I would kill for a badge to go to SHOT Show. Mm-hmm. And like, he just wants to get in because they've done such a good job of allowing quality creators in, that people are distributing all this content for, you know, weeks before and weeks after. And it has this pedestal status. And to me, that's good. Like that's a good, you know, for your brand, you want to have something that's coveted and talked about. Versus what we talked about last time with ATA, you know, they've just really restricted down the media access. They don't even, it's a blackout day. It's a shorter window. Like, so a lot of the media members that couldn't come on Wednesday, they only had two working days, and then they had to turn around and go to SHOT because some of the range days for the brand started on Sunday, and it just made it really hard to schedule. So they're like, I'm not going, you know, if you're not going to cater to me better than that, I'm not going to go to the show. Whereas SHOT is just constantly expanding, you know, that I mean, this year, do you think, you've been with me three times now, I think this was the most crowded I've seen it.
The media room itself was twice as crowded which is a good thing. And then, you know, I think there was a little bit of the travel restrictions that have changed that kind of affected the last
international
year.
International.
And so there was a lot more of that crowd there, and the show floor felt busy every time I was there. So, yeah, I think from an attendance perspective, it was really strong.
Yeah. So we've had a good show season. Jacob and Dan worked their tails off, really going after some partners to help us get volume in still. There's still going to be we haven't even done that. We've kind of been so slammed. We haven't done a good job of announcing everything. Sorry, that didn't mean that. It's a pot shot at you, Erica.
Sure.
Erica, who handles
we've
our emails.
We've made you hold some of that message.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's been some of that. But I think, you know, there's brands in there people probably don't even know about yet. And Jacob and Dan, you know, by summer, I think it'll be probably doubled again in terms of size with some of the partners we have coming on. Yep. But also just with brand, the quality overall of the product. Like, this is why this is important for Go Wild. For our members that are listening, like, if you kind of wonder what we're doing there, a lot of it is trying to find brands that can partner on content. You know, we work with Federal a lot. Anybody that uses the platform knows we work with Federal a lot. So we're talking to those guys about the cool stuff we can do together. And there's cool things that are still coming out of those relationships that, you know, that's how we get to things like this UTV giveaway we're doing. We built that relationship through SHOT Show and, you know, with Chris from Culpin, you know, that whole thing doesn't happen without that relationship with Chris. And the whole industry, you know, sometimes people will tell me things like, I'm too busy to go to SHOT this year, and they're trying to build a company. And I'm like, I had that mentality for a while as you're trying to get this done. But like, these relationships compound, you know, and so you have to be there and keep showing up every year. And I think eventually people are like, well, they haven't gone away yet, and I like them, so I'm going to take a chance on them, right? Like, it might be year three before somebody decides to do something with you. But because the first time you show up, it's a risk, right? It's like, I don't know this guy. I like what he's doing, but, you know, kind of going to play it safe and just see. And I will say, I've been warned by other people that this industry especially is like that. You know, Cody Rich, when I first met him and was starting Go Wild, he's like, well, just so you know, it takes 5 years before anybody trusts you. And I was like, wow, that's like a long time. I hope you're wrong.
Well, I mean, to some extent, though, there's constantly ideas and startups that show up. And
especially in what we're doing.
Yeah.
How many times do people launch social media apps? I mean, I had a folder of 40 of them on my phone at once, and I finally had to start deleting space. It's like they just pop up all the time. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of natural distrust with that. But I mean, even if you're whatever it is, whatever your thing is that you're trying to do in this industry, I just don't see how you – like, not going to SHOT Show is just like not being able to take credit cards. It's that important to me.
Yeah.
Like, I really feel like that show's that important. And you know, we took 6 people this year.
Yeah, you guys – I was jealous.
I know. I want to get you out there.
I mean, I don't know if – I'll be honest. I don't think I can hang in Vegas, especially with you guys. Because I did – I got a message – I woke up at like 4:30 in the morning and looked down at my phone, and a message had came in like 50 minutes ago. You got a text. I was like, who the heck is texting me at 3:30 in the morning? And it's Dan with a group picture of everyone. And he was like, just hanging out in Vegas playing the ponies. And yeah, I was
Wednesday
like,
night.
Yeah, I can't hang with them.
We got back to the room, and one of our board members had asked how a meeting went, and he texted me back at when I got to the room that night, and I'm like, oh God, he's awake now.
He's waking up, and
I haven't gone to bed. And again, this really wasn't like a drunken mess. It was just, we ended up just hanging down and playing.
We don't party hard. Yeah. It's just
well, I think Vegas is, we've talked about this, Vegas is designed to make you lose track of time.
Yeah. Oh, and there's multiple parties where there's just debaucherous stuff going on that you can do. Some lady walked by and offered Zach Coke at the casino. Yeah, like there's plenty of
just
sin.
Just randomly?
Yeah,
she just walked by.
2 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock in the morning, she's like, y'all want some Coke?
As she walked.
By. Like real subtle. Real subtle. Didn't stop. If Zach had said, yeah, he could have thrown whatever. I don't know how much Coke is going for these days. A little inexperienced on that front. But yeah, it was a... if you want to go there and run that course, you are more than able to.
What percentage of people that go there think run that specific?
Oh, at least 10%.
Oh, I thought you were like 50.
No,
because you couldn't do the show. Like
you really would be non-functional. And I think a lot of people come from the East Coast, and you know, the time zone adjust is hard. I mean, the first night we were there, we got delayed. And after dinner, there's a lot of business. The executives are going up, and then a lot of the youngins are still working the casino floor. There ends up being that split. But, I mean, there's a difference between, like, hitting the casinos and some of the style parties that you get invited to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the Black Rifle party last year was kind of crazy. I mean, we showed up at or the Beyond. It's a Beyond party that Black Rifle sponsored. And we were there, and I'm like, this is – like, some people were definitely partying. Some people were there just hanging out. But that party, I'm like, who's the dude playing the old 90s rap? He's like, that's Tone Loc. Jacob's like, that's literally Tone Loc, dude. You know?
Yep.
So, like, there's those kind of things happen every year.
Chuck Liddell.
Chuck Liddell. That was one of the funny – like, we were standing at the casino the first night. Dan was trying so hard to get me and Jacob into slot machines. And I'm just like, I can't do this, man. I literally, like, every bone in my body hates everything about this. And Dan's like, look, it's fun. You know, he's just hammering the button and having the time of his life losing money. And we're kind of standing there. I'm like, man, who's this dude that looks like a chubby Chuck Liddell? And the way he was sitting, he looked – Chuck Liddell's still, like, very built. But the way he was sitting –
he had
not,
a belly.
He was not flattering.
It was this year?
Yeah. This was Tuesday. Oh. And this is – or Monday. It was Monday. Did we go on Monday?
It was Monday.
Monday night. He's just sitting there, and he didn't look built the way he stood up. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of laughing. But I don't know why we didn't recognize him. He had the tattoos on his head, which is like his thing. He's got those – I don't know if it's Chinese or – he's got symbols down the side of his head. I don't know what it means. Probably like –
I'm Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like me.
But I've seen him every year I've gone. One year I was like basically me to Jacob from him. And but we were kind of laughing like, oh, yeah, that's not Chuck Liddell. He's too out of shape. Well, so those guys stayed over there playing next to him, like literally us to you from him on the slots. And then I was over at the
– he was on the slot machine?
Yeah, he's just by himself hanging out. He had just gotten there, I think. And he was staying where we were. I'll leave that out. But the – I was at went over to see Kevin Orthman, the previous executive director of Pomo, who's a dear friend of mine. And I was hanging out with him and this dude, I'm like, hey man, look at this guy. He looks just like Chuck Liddell. And then everybody starts taking photos with him. I'm like, oh dude, that is Chuck Liddell. Like if he had heard us, we could have gotten our tails whipped right here.
I think fat Chuck Liddell would still run circles around all of us.
I'll tell you, when he stood up and walked away, he did not look as rotund as he did. He's a UFC fighter. He's built huge, right?
Right. So all that look muscle at,
yeah,
has
like,
to let
literally, like when he sits relax. Down, I didn't, there's, I would have bet no way that was him. But when he started walking across, he still got like that huge, broad, like build. And then when I saw him walking, I'm like, that is 100% Chuck Liddell. Most people don't look like that. But
I guess he doesn't need bodyguards, huh?
I mean,
he usually had, last couple of years, he's had people with him.
He has, it's probably more handlers because I'm sure he's got sponsorships and stuff with groups that are kind of just moving him from meeting to meeting. We met with Tim Kennedy. He was coming through the Pelican booth, and I wasn't going to bother him. We know Tim loosely. You know, he's been on our podcast and stuff, but guys like Tim just get clobbered. Chuck was, that's how I recognized that Chuck was Chuck, right? Because I watched him take three photos with people in 50 yards. And that's wow. That's what it's, I mean. They're uber famous in this, especially in this crowd, right? I mean, like the their brand awareness is 90% in a crowd. Tim walked into the Pelican booth, just checking it out, and was looking at stuff. And he had six people behind him, one of which also looked like
two guys with serious cauliflower ear, which is a dead giveaway.
Yeah, they're definitely fighters.
Don't touch them.
Yeah, and then who Tim called his handler, she was coming behind him. But he stopped and chatted with us for maybe a minute, and we were just saying hi to him. And he's like, man, I just love this show. Everybody, like, he's talking about how nice it is to get to see everybody. He's like, it's like hanging out with family. And then his lady behind him is like, Tim, we got to go to the meeting. He's like, all right, my handler's telling me I got to leave.
That's wild.
Most shocking thing about meeting Tim Kennedy, I was expecting his handshake to break four fingers.
Oh, yeah.
It was just normal handshake.
It was normal. He did, yeah. But it was good. Like
not that it wasn't limp. But I went into the handshake thinking, okay, I got to be ready for this one.
Mm-hmm.
It was a normal handshake.
Yeah. He He was nice. I'm trying to think if we saw anybody else that...
Well, what's crazy about SHOT Show is there's a lot of people that we don't recognize because we're not ingrained in tactical...
Well, the first time you and I went was Zach.
Yeah, he knew like, people.
Zach's really into the shooting side, right?
Right.
And he's like, oh my God, do you know who that is? I'm like, dude, I don't have a clue. He's like, he's got like 6 million followers on YouTube. I'm like, I don't know. No clue. He had read one of the guy's book from... I can't even remember which author it was, but Zach met him last year, and I met him, and I didn't appreciate who he was. And then afterwards, Zach's like, that's the guy. And then he told me who he was. I was like, oh, yeah. I can't remember who it was, though. Good story, Brad.
Was he one of the...
Was it the guy that shot Bin Laden?
13th Hour?
Yeah. It was one of those. It was one of those guys. Yeah, from the book and movie. Mm-hmm. And
real life guy.
He was the real life guy.
Okay.
And we met him and I didn't even know who he was. Whoa. But it's a weird show like that. I mean, Crispy was working one of the booths, you know. It's just the I don't want to say influencers, because Tim Kennedy's not like a social media influencer. The guy's very well accomplished, right? But the fame of the industry is there. I'll say it that way.
Yeah. He's using his presence to
Black Rifle was over by Nine Line Apparel, mm-hmm. and outside they had like a market where you could actually buy stuff. Most booths you can't buy anything at SHOT Show. It's a trade show. But Black Rifle had swag set up, and Nine Line. There's like 10 different brands in this market where you could go. And Nine Line, I didn't recognize anybody on their celebrity list throughout the week. And Zach's like, oh, look at this. And I'm like, I don't know who that is, man.
Whoa. That's crazy. I wouldn't know anyone.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing too is like a lot of this audience looks the same. It's like earth tone colors, beard,
black hat,
Richardson hat with a patch on it. Like this hat, that's like everybody's got something like that on, you know?
And they're all like beefed up.
Not everybody.
I was convinced that Jacob would have this hat on today, because every time we get new hats, he ends up wearing the same exact hat that I do. This is from Pelican.
I was talking to Dan about how cool it is when you're there, because there's like private military contractors that are there, you know, very elite.
Oh, generals military. Are there cutting deals for what they're going to order for the year.
And you just think about what the body of work of that room.
Mm-hmm.
You just think about that. It's crazy.
Well, and a lot of the business isn't done on the floor. Me and Jacob found that out last year. We went up to a booth with a brand. He invited us up to his penthouse, basically. And we get up there, there's a big spread of food and drinks, anything you wanted to drink. And he wasn't bragging. Well, he's kind of bragging. But he's like, oh, yeah, we just had this general in here, just dropped, you know, X amount of money on a contract for next year with our product, trying to sell us on it, you know. But, I mean, a lot of that, it's that kind of stuff, where, like a lot of the private parties and private dinners. And there's a lot of private room dinners happen at SHOT.
There's a large amount of money exchanged.
Yeah.
What? Okay. So, like, back in the day with George Washington, where did they get all their guns? Did everyone just, like, hey, bring your shotgun? Or bring your rifle?
No, like, they probably still had contracts or agreements.
A lot of it's still manufactured. I mean, you're still...
Repeating arms.
Yeah,
that was a dumb question.
It's not a dumb question.
Well, no, it's not.
You didn't know.
I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, these...
Like,
I mean,
did they have big, like, gun manufacturers?
Yeah, they did. Because you still had to specialize in it, and you had somebody that would forge the barrels, and... Mm-hmm. I mean, it was more soup to nuts that you'd build the whole thing yourself.
Right.
Versus now, like, a lot of these... Like, some of these brands just... They're like, we only do barrels. Or we only do triggers. You know?
Yeah. Like screws for one thing.
Yeah.
Really?
So a lot of specialization now. Now, some brands will still have a model that they build soup to nuts. You know, I was talking to Bergara, and they've got a rifle that they build every screw in-house, and they do the whole thing. But most, and they don't even do this for most things, like most brands are going to get a component from an expert of that thing. You know, Christensen's a great example. Some of those things on the firearm are components from other manufacturers. They're not all Christensen made, mm-hmm. and that's normal. It's super normal.
Well, okay, last dumb question real quick. Speaking of dinosaurs, if we were in the era that dinosaurs still existed and you can get a tag for one species, which one is it going to be?
We should have the cameras on for this one. I mean, I want to go all in. I want the Mac Daddy.
You want the...
I'm like, if people were like...
T-Rex?
Yeah. I want to have one of those banana-sized teeth. that I just like, I wear it around on a necklace. Like people are like, oh, cute. You got your bear claw. Look at this thing.
Yeah.
Is it the Allosaurus that is similar to T-Rex, but bigger?
Yeah, I think it was.
He's like beefier.
Had bigger. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had to one-up me. He waited to see what I said.
One of those ones that apparently looked like T-Rex, but had feathers.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
If you can mount that.
Those were more like a velociraptor size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Those are good answers.
It definitely have to be a meat eater.
Yeah.
No way.
I'm not going out and shooting like a brontosaurus.
Yeah. I would take the brontosaurus because at least I'd be like, I got it. Yay. Meat in the freezer.
That probably would be good meat.
What would you need to take down something of that size?
Gosh. One of those little armor-piercing tanks that they have.
Fred Bear would be out there with a bow. He'd be out there with a...
He would.
He'd be out there with like a trap bow. And red plaid. good question, Erica. All right. I was supposed to look up. I'm going to see if anybody posted on. We'll do this. I posted this right before the show, so I didn't get a lot of time to see if anybody answered. I think there was at least one question on my post on Go Wild. Jeremiah wants to know why I didn't text him so we could meet up and hug. Honestly, I didn't even know Jeremiah was at the show. Sorry, Jeremiah. I should have known, but also we had a pretty busy schedule. Sorry, Jeremiah. Wes Renard wants to know, did Braden and Erica show up in any way and crash the party like they threatened to do?
What if you did and you just like watched from afar?
Oh, okay. So let me tell you how I did watch from afar because...
Oh my gosh.
Creeper. You guys always call me a creeper and I am. But you guys were there and... anyways, okay, you guys were there, and I'm on Instagram, and I have a friend that is at SHOT Show, and he put, like, one or two stories up, and the first one is, like, him entering SHOT Show, and he's like, look around, look at, you know, just kind of, his stories were just showing what SHOT Show was about, right? Only, like, two little 30-second videos, and the second video is the T-Rex thing, the dinosaur thing you guys were talking about, and there's Donovan. And there's Dan.
No
and there's
way.
Chris shooting. And I was like, that is so ironic.
I sent her the video and she's like, I just saw you in that booth because of the guy's posting directly to.
Did you have fun in the game?
Yeah. I should have been like, hello. How was the dinosaur game?
Yeah. Yeah. Or like mention somebody that wasn't in my video and ask what they were, or said something about what they were wearing.
Yeah.
Mike wants to know, was the crud worth it? Or who caught the worst case of crud? And what did they see at SHOT that made every shot of NyQuil worth it? Well, I think we already talked about the second half of that question, but you think Dan cares? I guess I already outed him.
Dan's sick.
Dan's got the cocoa.
Dan's sick.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Still to be determined if he got it at SHOT Show or ATA.
Yeah, it's already I guess he could have gotten it possibly Monday, but I mean to have it this soon, to test positive for this soon, that's unlikely.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's possible. I don't know.
He said he had sniffles and a light cough.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad because he's like, well, I guess I'll just come in tomorrow on Saturday when nobody's there to finish getting ready for a Great American Outdoor Show. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what am I supposed to – I mean, it's got to be done.
He should just flip his work days or come in at night or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Dan's kind of hard to tell not to work, so I haven't had a whole lot of luck controlling that. So.
Yeah, I don't think Dan – minds. I think he likes it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, y'all. I hope you enjoyed this SHOT Show recap. We had Erica Johnson, Jacob Knight, and Brad Luttrell here. You can log this on Go Wild. You hit the plus log time, and then go to Outdoor Podcast. And this show is uncensored by Go Wild. So thanks for listening.